Hey folks, my name is Vasily Shapovalov. I work in Lido, and what I want to talk about today is what I think will be the future of liquid staking. Really love the crowd, by the way. There's so many of you. A bit about us and about me, why I'm talking about this. I'm a tech lead at Lido, which is a DAO that's headquartered on Ethereum that makes liquid staking protocols, and it maintains the largest liquid staking protocol in existence, Lido on Ethereum, which has a bit more than 4 million Ether in it. Currently the number two DeFi protocol by TVL, and I'm co-founder tech lead, so I guess I know a couple of things about staking. So for folks who are not really familiar with the topic, liquid staking is when a staker gets transferable voucher when they lock up their stake in a staking protocol. So like it's not it can be used in DeFi, it can be transferred, sold, bought, collateralized, etc., etc. Liquid staking is a small but growing and pretty significant in size part of staking economy, you know, like all the staking economy was out 80 billions, and liquid staking protocols that together are about 8 billions or so. And if we add to the liquid staking protocols also liquid staking on exchanges, which I think we actually should count among the liquid staking options, it will be closer to 20 billions, I think. So large, but not overwhelming part of the staking economy. I'm not going to do any deep insights here. Like don't pretend there is something I am going to say that is not pretty obvious, I think. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to make three predictions. Basically, one is that like protocol-based liquid staking will grow alongside DeFi ecosystem. When DeFi ecosystem grows, liquid staking protocols grow with it. When it doesn't grow, when it stagnates, that like liquid staking will not protocols will not grow. Like there will be people will use staking exchanges instead. There will be a lot of options for liquid staking, but few of them will be winners. And who will be the winner, who will be the winners, will be determined by stakers. They will be the one with who vote with their money about like what the future would look like. In a bit of more details area of this statement, I'll talk about it. So our experience at Lido building liquid staking protocols, many chains. We have like one on Ethereum, one on Solana, on Polygon, on Polkadot. The thing is, liquid staking protocol growth is driven by DeFi ecosystem growth. Whether when there is low amount of DeFi penetration, liquid staking will also be pretty small. And when there is like a very strong economy like on Ethereum, liquid staking will be very popular. There are other factors, but like that's primarily the thing. Like when people want to use their Ether in DeFi, they will rather use some kind of staking liquid staking token in DeFi. When they don't want to use Ether in DeFi, they don't care about staked Ether, Rocket Pool Ether, etc., etc. So, and the main competition are the wallet gardens of CeFi, like. Exchanges have liquid staking since forever. It works very seamlessly. It's very, very easy for the user. They like just deposit the tokens that they used to if they are working with exchange, and it's automatically staked. It can be often used as collateral for margin trading. Like it has most of the users that people want liquid staking for. And if you don't care about being in decentralized finance, if you don't care about like these being not your keys, it's perfectly serviceable. So And the product is just better than regular staking. The liquid staking is better for users than regular staking. The adoption barriers that like a major problem for liquid staking protocol growth is smart contract risk, governance risks, and sometimes tax implications. The smart contract risk and governance risk, on one hand, they go down with time. So like with time, people starting to trust more the protocols for good measure. Because they haven't been hacked, they are like less likely to be hacked in the future. Same about governance. And still, it's not worth it. Like if you're not using to use the token in DeFi, like if you're not going to trade it or collateralize it, you don't want to take this additional risk. There are multiple options for building liquid staking protocols and like liquid staking in general, not just protocols that are exist already or will be existing going forward. And to talk about them, we need to understand what is liquid staking as a product, like who are the users, what do they want. And there are three kind of users, like three kind of stakeholders for liquid staking. One is the stakers, they are most important here. And they want staking rewards, they want security, they want liquidity and usability in finance, basically. Protocols community want the best validator set for the protocol that is decentralized, censorship resistant. And node operators in protocols, they want to run a stable staking business if they are professional. And if they are hobbyists, they want to be like, I don't know, respected. They are not rational. Just do it for the fun and for the feeling of contributing to decentralization, which is great. So, and the options that are available or will be available in the future are broadly, it's custodial option, the exchange-based liquid staking or custody-based liquid staking. It's protocol that are based on risk management. It's protocol that are based on bonds for security. They're hyper-compliant protocols and marketplace types type protocols. I'm listing them in the order of adoption. Custodial liquid staking, like exchange liquid staking, is like the largest one. If you combine, like even on Ethereum, but if you combine together all the exchange staking options, it's like a lot of market share. They are exchange or custody based, very simple to use for users because like centralized solution are like very good for you for user experience. Usually you can do a lot to make it simpler. They have no additional risk if you already trust the exchange in question with your capital. Often have included the options for margin trading, lending, money markets, etc. And because the operator of custodial liquid staking, like exchange or something, they are double dipping, so they're getting staking rewards and like fee on staking rewards, and they are also getting fee on trading on maybe custody fees or something like that. They can offer very competitive rates compared to others. Like this option will likely win on profitability going forward. It's not the case right now because like Coinbase takes a lot of fees, but they have much more options to go lower on fees because they can double dip in vertical integrations. They have usually super validator sets, so like they don't provide that much value for as much value as they could for the protocol, because they select few operators with little diversity in jurisdictions, physical locations, etc. And it's not transparent, and they are susceptible to regulatory capture because like CeFi solution are like extremely regulated. Risk management-based protocols, they are non-custodial. They manage slashing risks protocol-wide by creating credit validator sets that like minimize slashing risks. They are usually capital efficient, so they're easy to grow, they're easy to accept stake. For for the competitive advantage on user side, they rely on DeFi ecosystem. So like when DeFi ecosystem is better than any single wallet garden of exchange, they can offer a good alternative to centralized exchanges. Validator set they have are like very different in design because and in quality. They can be big, they can be small, they can be like consist of one operator, which is like the same, the protocol operators basically. That's because like the managed protocol set is the validator set is basically the major part of the product here, and that's where they differ very much. It can be good, it can be bad. It like depends on the protocol. Bonded protocol are also non-custodial. They manage slashing risk by acquiring validator bonds. That makes them capital inefficient because validators, like the good not operators community, they don't usually have a lot of money. And when they are required to provide bonds, this is limited by basically the amount of capital of operators or the amount of debt they are willing to take from outside sources. The validator set management is left to the market. Like basically, if you have capital, you can participate as an operator, you can provide your own validation, and that's the only thing that is required, which I think at scale delivers centralized validator sets because capital is centralized. Like if you take a look at Gini coefficient of Ethereum, for example, which is like one of the best ones, it's really high. Like most of the whales are worldwide, like few dozens of whales. When the protocol is at scale, that they are either providing a loan or they operate themselves at scale and take the majority of the validator set. This option of hyper compliant one is not very different on tech side from risk management. It's a different approach because like its selling point and main feature is that the validator set is extensively KYC'd and certified and regulated, and they are likely to not deliver validator sets that the protocol community want. And I don't think there will be much liquidity usable because like usability in DeFi requires they made clients are people who are like very scary of regulations. I think that's like selling through lawyers type of things that are averse to participate in much of the DeFi. So, and the last type is marketplace, is when there are multiple options for staking in one place, different risk profiles, features, and costs. And when they do a liquid staking token, they have to fund it in some way, like either they do risk management on options, like to make a fungible basket of different options in the marketplace, or do the bond type, or just do a naive, like assuming every risk profile is the same. Current state on Ethereum is that risk management is the largest protocol, like it's Lido, it's risk management type. The second by size is custodial, but it will very quickly jump to one by one when withdrawals are possible and every other on every any exchange can be staked more safely than it right now. And the third type is bonded, it's rocket pool, it's the third position. And by growth speed right now, Coinbase liquid staking token grows the fastest. Lido has the second place, and Rocket Pool is the third. So this is the current trend. I think that the only non-custodial trust-minimized options can be designed with the can't do evil principle in mind. So liquid staking protocols that are sufficiently limited in what they can do to like to stake, to validator set selection, to to force or like entice operators to operate in a certain way when they are limited in that, they can be entirely harmless for the protocol and not a threat. Custodial solutions can't do that because like they can act like with their values, but they are extremely susceptible to regulations, which can be not aligned with company's value. I think that only risk management-based protocols can deliver a good validator set at scale, because at scale, the main thing that you deliver for a protocol is a good validator set. And if you don't have an opinionated selection algorithm that says that like the good validator set should be defined, like should be diverse in jurisdiction, in should be pretty flat in distribution of stake, should be diverse geographically and like in cloud and on-premise operations, etc. That's essentially what like risk management is. You manage the risk for the protocol as well. So I think there are two possible outcomes for the future of Ethereum. Is one is that like most of the stake is in the risk management protocol that provides a good validator set. Minority is in its custodial, and bonded is like the on the third place. And the better outcome is vice versa, when most of the stake is custodial and the rest is in protocols. Anyway, whatever I think on that, it doesn't matter much, because I am not the one who decides who will win and like who will lose and like what will be the best the largest options. It's the stakers who decide that outcome. Not operators. They are agents. They operate like either very small amounts of their own stake or like large amounts of other people's money. They do not decide like who is going to be the winner. It's not stake aggregators like protocols or custodies, because users, stakers actually decide which aggregator to use. It's not protocol researchers or developers, because they design like a neutral protocol that can be used by other people, which are stakers, to have the desired outcome. It's not voices on crypto, Krita, Twitter, or like protocol governance. It's going to be their stakers. Current state of Ethereum staking is a direct result of stakers making their choice in the past. Why is Lido big? Because people staked with Lido. Why is like Coinbase big? Because people decide to stake with Coinbase. The future will be a result of stakers making the decision going forward. So what I'm asking you folks is to select the best stake based on your ethos, your needs, your capabilities. Like if you can, if you want and you can run your own node, run your own node. If you see a good option for staking with the protocol, like stake with the protocol or with the node operator you trust or something like that. Because like stakers will be deciding the future of validator set on Ethereum, like how the Ethereum will be operating in the future. As a bonus thing, I made a few predictions, but there are a few curveballs that can invalidate all of that very unexpectedly. One thing that like is obviously can change the scape very much is regulations. Regulators can force most of Ethereum stakers, and most of like a lot of Ethereum is like in regulated jurisdictions. A lot of Ether is holders are in regulated jurisdictions to comply to local regs, and if local regs say them to stake in a specific way, they will likely comply. The funds, the like the custodies, etc., they will have to. The second curveball is restaking. Shout out to Angular. It's basically using the same stake on multiple protocols. The main idea is like you can stake either in Ethereum protocol and then can use the voucher to the stake state, like stake tether token or like a RIS token or something, as a stake in a different protocol. that does something different, and it's subject to additional slashings if something goes wrong. That leads to a combinatorial explosion in potential risk and rewards profiles. So right now, it's pretty easy to fudge the unfungible the staking positions. Like you manage the risk and rewards, and that you can get liquid token out of it, like, or make it bonded or something. When there is a lot of options for getting additional rewards for taking additional risks, which is going to happen if Angular takes off, that makes the space very, very diverse and for possibilities of using your Ether in different ways, and it's becoming much harder to fudge than fungible. And it makes risk management-based protocol harder to design, and marketplace is more suitable to the state. When there is a lot of differentiation in different options for staking, marketplaces are better suited to that than risk management. And the elephant in the room is the second-order effects of MEV, because like that's a very it's filled with emergent rules. We don't understand how it works until it works in a specific way. Usually, we can predict some things, but not all things. And it's hard to see the future clearly. And it clearly has a lot of requirement for latency and benefits a lot from exclusivity deals, which can force centralization somewhere in some place. And it can happen that it will force centralization, like on protocol management, like on stake management level, or like on staking layer, or like wherever. We don't know yet. Like at least I don't know. I don't quite understand how it will end up. And I think that we will see it when we'll see it, not before. I think the best way to counter that on staking level will be to transform validators and protocol to dumb pipes that don't make any decisions, basically, or make can opt out of making decisions at least. Something like PBS design with CR lists, for example. But like as I said, it's curveball. I'm not completely sure with how it's going to play out. So that's it. Thank you for coming. I'm really hyped with seeing such a good crowd.
Hello, how are you? Sorry. You mentioned in Lido of the risk management reference of LSTs. How is this related to the insurance of Lido in relation to the TBL?
I don't quite get the question. I'm going to answer as best as I can. So Lido is a protocol that takes stakers Ether and it distributes to a validator set in a specific way. This validator set is selected in a way to de-risk the staked Ether holders, so like reduce slashing risks, and to make the validator set of Ethereum better as well. So like we try to distribute in a way that will be increase the diversity of validators and like the stake distribution, make better stake distribution. We don't require operators to bond the capital to operate, and that makes scaling for Lido really easy because all the operators need to do is to upload some more keys into Lido and like accept more stake. That's why when there was a lot of demand for staking in the ecosystem, it went to Lido and not say to Coinbase. When the growth is limited by not operators having enough capital or having enough loans options or something like that, it's not being able to ride these waves of like staking demands. So I guess like the TVL of Lido is a direct results of the design.
Okay, I was wondering, one of the curveballs that maybe could happen is what if it becomes dramatically easier to operate nodes? Like it's pretty complex to like spin up your own like beacon currently, but what if it was much, much easier? How would that impact the overall market in your opinion?
So I think that it's not going to become dramatically easy for a long time. The reason is, like, before protocol classification, it's really hard to maintain the nodes in, like, in a good state because there are a lot of upgrades and like hot fixes and stuff. But imagine it is becoming dramatically easier. Then on liquid staking, I think the result will be that there will be more solo operators, and every protocol will that will be big enough will converge on like on some hybrid model of having most of the stake and risk management and less stake and bonded solution for permissionless operators, just to promote the solo stakers. And the removing of barriers will lead to more solo stakers and like a bit more importance for to having this feature. That's my guess.
Hello, Vasily. It's really nice to meet you. I have two questions, actually. First one, I would like to understand what you see as the biggest risk for the liquid staking industry or the staking industry as a whole right now. And second one, what do you see as the biggest risk for Lido right now?
I think the answer to both is smart contract risk. DeFi protocols are like very robust. I think it's the most bug-free code in the world, like right now, like better than aerospace, better than medical code, etc. But it's like existing in a very toxic environment where any mistakes gets exploited like very fast. So smart contract risk is probably the major risk. And on a more like economical side, I think. I'm really thinking that exchanges, wallet guard, like CeFi, are really a very strong competitor to protocol-based liquid staking, because centralization is more like it's cheaper, and people care a lot about APR. So,
I have some statistics on the Lido tokens emission. It's kind of like outdated, but it's something to minimize. So the token incentive that the emissions in the last 7 days is 5 million in terms of TVL, while the revenues is only 600K. Do you think it's that people actually value the governance of Lido itself as a liquid staker, or it's kind of like being overvalued? Do you see any attack factors or governance if it kind of go down if people don't value it as much as it right now?
Let me rephrase and say if I understood it right. So you're saying that we have a lot of incentives, and Lido's TVL is probably because of incentives and not because of like people, because of the fact that people want it, right?
Okay, why the token incentive is 5 million?
So the incentives are not that big in the overall protocol, compared to overall protocol revenue, and they are needed to maintain good liquid pools for liquidations to happen. That's the only reason they exist. The staking rewards are the main reason people have staked it. There is like of over like 4 million of Ether in Lido. I think about between 200,000 and 600,000 of staked Ether is locked in, maybe 700, I don't know, is locked in into incentivized pools. So I think that when withdrawals are in, that will be completely unnecessary and will change everything. The incentives will be slow, but the protocol will be just as useful.